Wow. I am so moved. So many beautiful poets and so much poetry and so much diversity. I love this group. You did a great job, guys. I am going to open with a poem called The Creation. The Creation. And this is a shout out to my fellow women, those reading, and my friends who are here to support me. I'm sorry you have to put up with me all these years reading nonsense to you. The Creation. Woman was made so clothes will have something to wear, so shoes will find company, hair finely braided, hanging down the shoulders of an unloose woman, a tightly fitted skirt finding knees, some leopard suit carved out of unyielding things, stiff fingers sewing and sewing until fabric attaches itself to permanent skin. All the lost hours and lost sleep, just so fabric can find sliding ground on the back of a woman, feeding herself on scraps of unwanted love in a city long lost to map builders. Woman was made so pavement will have feet to carry, loads of sharp heels bare only to shoes, so feet will know the forgetfulness that comes with stepping, the forgetfulness of twisting, not just to the rhythm of new love. Woman was made so men will have trouble to fall into, like a ditch dug so deep, falling into it only creates deep scars in an already scarred heart. Woman was made so worried will have a place to lease, so the sun will find moon, so moon will have daylight to blame for its own disappearance, so worry will burn down the throat of some lonely man. Woman was made to put the world in places where place cannot hold earth. Woman carved cruelly out of the beauty of ugliness, out of scarred pieces of pain. Beauty out of all the broken parts of a broken city, where the heart has forgotten how to mend. Woman was built out of corrugated pieces of zinc, just so the earth would rebuild, so pain will forget how to be. Earth finding erectness in the small, bent, carved places where the world has been so long broken, there is no longer any unmaking. Woman was made to remake other women into other hard pieces of burnt clay, so the clothing we wear could talk to the other clothing we can't wear. Woman was made from scarred tissues of metal, from the firmness of a brick wall, iron pieces standing up, alas, for something. So tears will have a face to wear, so pain will have something to carry around, so the earth will find the heart to heal all the brokenness of ruin. Woman was made to unmake a man the way you unmake a face, the way you undo, to rewind the corrugated heart of a world too long broken. Okay. When I was in college, I didn't want to marry any man that would have a last name that was English. I wanted an African last name because my name is Jabe. And then I found a man whose name was English, Wesley. But what I didn't know was that I would be the last in every anthology and at every reading. Okay. So I'm going to read a poem for those of you who have been and struggling and overcoming the pain of this time. And I want to tell you, we're not only reading for the steel city, but we are made of steel, guys. We are still here. We are still here. Some of us are made of steel. Some of us are made of steel. Some of us are made of twigs. Some of us break in order to stand and rise above the bend. Some of us bend and wobble and rock to the rhythm of all the scars we pick up as the roots wind us in its hard grip and toss us up in the cold, sometimes hot air against the dashing, against the walls of life. Some of us are made of jelly, soft to the touch. But when life gives us a blow, we slide and glide. And before you know it, we've made it to the other side, away from destruction, surviving the punches only jelly could take. Some of us are made of tears, 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 and we weep hard, so rain falls on hardened, drought-weary soil. And then the rivers swell and swell and swell because somehow life has made us cry. But in our tears, salt, healing, salty, and forever, we are forever. Yes, some of us are forever. No matter what you toss at us, we rise again and again and again, like that old river in my backyard at home. That river that rises and we say, oh, the river. And then it goes away and we say, oh, the swamp. Some of us are hard. Sometimes the river, sometimes the rock. I'm going to read, okay, I have two poems left to read, and I'm trying to find this. Okay, here it is. Okay, I was in my doctor's office today, and my doctor has refused to allow me to take the vaccine. I told him I needed it today, and he said, for the 100th time, he's not going to let me take the vaccine, because I am allergic to 14 medications across the spectrum, and I have almost died over and over and over. And today, again, he denied me the vaccine. And so but this poem was written in my other doctor's office. Poem written in my doctor's office. After this, I'll read one more and I'll be done. I think it was the fourth doctor's office or some doctor's office when I wrote this one. Some mornings I float like a piece of paper in the wind, pile upon pile, my daily routine stacked against one another as I juggle children, husband, my life of teaching, writing, reading, useless emails. I make it through the day, drive home so I can sink into a couch. In this America, where I have unbuckled myself from extended family, where the Atlantic salty winds have twisted rust in between the 5,000 miles, where in the salty time of air and space, I've lost it all, home, siblings, nieces and nephews, all strangers. There are no rewards in the wandering feet of the exile. There is no laughter when you are so many miles away from your homeland and you grope for ropes in the raging waters between here and Africa. In my dream, I am a flying angel carrying the tears of my wandering lost ancestors, who are beckoning us to come home, to come on home, to come back home now. At the doorpost, the kola nut is growing and bleeding in ice kola nut bowl, where the kola nut has grown small limbs as the old hometown awaits my return. And then I will read my last one. I don't want to be cut off. If I get cut off, I might punch my laptop and it doesn't deserve it. Okay, guys. And this poem is called Requiem for Auntie. When I was a young teen, I lost my favorite aunt. She was probably in her late 20s. She was my father's second sister to die young. The other I never saw. I only saw her photo with her hair hanging down her back. And then I knew where my long hair came from. But this other auntie was special to me because she came over, did my hair. She was sweet. And then she died in our presence. Requiem for Auntie. She died in the early 70s. When the dead first arrive in death, their eyes stand naked and wide and bare to the bone. This gaze numbed my girl eyes the day they brought my auntie home. As the dead in the land of the living made a big fuss to welcome her, I rushed out of bed in sleeping gown, no slippers, into the parlor. I ran behind my father carrying white sheets for her. Up the cold, dew wet stairs, I ran. They are keeping her upstairs in our unfinished upper floor, I thought, to wait for the funeral car. I could feel the cold night shadows creeping. My stepmother's muffled sobs up there. Something's gone wrong. In the dark, where my father tiptoed, carrying white sheets and the silence. There is no silence, I say, like the silence of death. No loneliness that surpasses the loneliness when your auntie has left her body and the living are left searching for something to do. Now the town lay halfway between sleep and death, between Monrovia and the dark meandering of the Mesorado, whose tireless going and coming leaves us empty of words, leaves the river banks bereft. You can hear the Mesorado going to the ocean and then returning, that fruitless rushing of a river. My auntie laid out upon a blue mattress in the parlor of newly laid concrete tiles, a dim lamp burning over her head. She must not feel the cold tiles against her skin, I imagine. But I know that the dead cannot feel, that their skin loses its feelings at the departure of the soul. I watched my father's fruitless making of the bed, laying his younger sister down, though wide-eyed she stared. What is she looking at? I wanted to ask someone. What is it that the dead see that the living cannot know? My father stood there like a wet bird standing in the stillness of shallow water. The mysteries of this world are not in the living. The mysteries of this world are in the dead. It's in the dead silence of death, in the withered things of this world, in the silence that the dead refuse to take along when the dead leave. I saw my stepmother rush to shut those eyes, pressing close my auntie's eyelids. You could still see the thin line where her eyeliner was now a birthmark. My stepmother went from one leg to the other, stretching my auntie's legs, her still polished toenails, stretching out my auntie's arms. There used to be Sundays when she had come walking down that road, bringing gifts under her arms for us children, and we'd run to meet her partway. Today, only a nylon gown shivered around my skin, my teeth rattling. My stepmother stood now, wiping the water running down her own cheeks, then breaking out, wailing loud, Popoglio, Popoglio, the gravel cry, and yet I stood there, 2 o'clock, the neighborhood asleep. What if my auntie had died at noon or at dusk, bringing in the evening's hurried feet and cars with Morovia hollering for her? Me standing there, the cold dew stairway, the sleeping houses, the swamp and the river. So many real people at rest in an unreal country. Thank you.